Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues is the name of this show. We'll be here for the next hour and 54 minutes and 30 seconds on this Thursday, October the 5th. So, we have Ed Vitagliano in studio. Good morning.
Good morning, Tim. I got to tell you, I'm not going to be on here for an hour and 54 minutes. That's almost 2 hours.
Is that what I said?
Yeah. I got to eat lunch.
All right. Well, we'll just cut
I don't it. Need to.
We'll just cut 30 minutes off. Yeah. How about that?
Okay.
We'll go with hour and 29 minutes and 30 seconds.
That's
all right, Fred Jackson, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
And Ray Pritchard. How you doing, Ray?
Oh, Tim, I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Doing well. Hey, I was on a trip, 2 weeks ago, Spiritual Heritage Tour, and a gentleman there on the tour listens to Today's Issues. And he had you down. He had a dead ringer for Ray Pritchard.
imitate his voice, you mean?
Yes. Hello, Tim. How are you?
He had it down.
He
That's
had
good.
Ray Pritchard down, man.
That was
Ray,
funny.
I would say that Ray is not an easy. He does not have a voice that would be easy to imitate because it's kind of normal. You want to imitate somebody who has something so distinctive,
right,
that people recognize who you're doing,
right,
like Peter Falk, you know, Columbo or
right,
something.
Right.
You know, that I've never been able to do that, but he has such a unique voice.
Yeah, Ray's kind of an average guy.
Thank you, I think.
He's just I was going to say, is that insult?
Average, middle-of-the-road, nondescript kind of
thank
voice.
Thank you so much.
I think that's where you were headed there. Yeah, it's a compliment, Ray.
Yeah, it's a compliment.
I receive it. I'll take anything I can get today. So there.
So Ray and Fred rocking the same color shirts today. Today's teal day?
It's teal day.
Yes. Yeah. And one
I had
of
to
your
get the
son,
memo.
One of your sons? Too.
Oh, yeah, well, Wesley was.
I haven't seen that.
Wesley
seen him this morning.
Yep.
Teal.
We all got the memo.
Evidently, I didn't. All right. Thanks for joining us, everybody. If you want to join us on the internet, go to. We have a streaming service that we provide that you can access, and it's called streaming.afa.net. So if you want to watch the show on what Ed affectionately calls that there internet, go to streaming.afa.net, streaming.afa.net. Facebook Live also carries our show. Facebook Live, type in today's issues, and the YouTube thing. We're days away, maybe?
Well, we're waiting to see. We kind of wanted to keep that a secret, but
I'm not telling anybody. are you?
Nope. I'm keeping it.
We may
Keeping
be
it in the lockbox.
We may be back on YouTube in the next few days or weeks. Who knows?
And I am not saying ever again the word that got us kicked off.
Spell it. What does it start with, Ed?
I.
Okay. Anyway, we'll see how that goes. First story, Fred. What is the first story today?
Well, let's first introduce this story by taking you down memory lane. Let's go back to 2020. Then-candidate Joe Biden asked questions about his policy about the southern border versus what then-President Donald Trump was doing. This is what Biden had to say about his policy with regards to the southern border. Again, this was, I believe, August of 2020. Cut one.
I would, in fact, make sure that we immediately surge to the border. All those people are seeking asylum. They deserve to be heard. That's who we are. We're a nation that says if you want to flee and you're fleeing oppression, you should come.
Trump campaigned on build that wall. Are you willing to tear that wall down?
No, there will not be another foot of wall constructed in my administration.
Not another foot, he said at that time. Well, here we are. 3.5 3 years later or so, just a little over that.
Three glorious years.
Yes.
Economic prosperity and peace.
Yeah. And here's the headline this morning. Biden administration now says there is an acute and immediate need for border wall construction. In fact, his administration is wiping clean about 26 various policies, you know, with regards to the environment. You know, the excuses have been used not to build border walls, et cetera, et cetera. He's removing all of that because of what Alejandro Mayorkas, Homeland Security Secretary, says is an acute and immediate need for border wall construction. My, what a difference. About 3 years.
Is that a quote from him?
Yes, it is.
He said what now?
Let me read it for you. There is presently an acute and immediate need to construct physical barriers and roads in the vicinity of the border of the United States in order to prevent unlawful entries into the United States in the project areas, end quote. Alejandro Mayorkas, the DHS secretary, stated in the notice last night.
First, I am going to commend you, Fred.
Oh.
You for a while, struggled with that name.
Yeah, I did.
Alejandro Mayorkas. And you're rocking it now. Must be the teal shirt. That's the same Mayorkas, is it not, who has been before Congress on a number of occasions?
Under oath.
Under oath, saying the border's secure, no problem, nothing to see here.
There is no crisis. There is no crisis on the southern border, this man said just weeks ago.
Yeah.
excuse me. Yeah. I don't know why they're doing that. I don't know why he's saying that. It's too late. Well, I say it's too late. I guess it's never too late to stop the illegal immigration into our country by the millions. But he's already let, 4 million people in here?
At least.
So by tearing down the wall, so to speak, and saying, you heard the quote there from Biden saying he invited a surge at the border when he was elected. Pardon me. So... I don't know why they're doing this. It's really not a need to do this because don't misunderstand me. I'm all for a wall.
Right.
Okay. And, but I don't know why they're doing this because they don't have to. Ray, do you see any reason? Maybe I'm missing something. Why?
You know, I wonder if it's not connected to this policy, brilliant really, of taking these illegal immigrants, these illegal aliens who've come in, and putting them on the buses and sending them north to Chicago, north to Washington, and especially north to New York City, right? I think suddenly people are starting, you know, it was fine to have a surge at the border if you're the mayor of New York, as long as those people were kept hundreds and hundreds of miles away.
True.
I'm wondering if the pressure is not on because now the big cities are experiencing what Texas has been living through for the last 3 years.
I think Ray bingoed right there. I think that's what it is, Ed.
I'm going to go full conspiracy right here. Okay. Now I think, In a normal world, that's a normal answer that our very normal sounding Dr. Ray Pritchard gave. That's an explanation that in normal times we would accept. This is politics. This is internal pressure from Democratic leaders. I'm going to throw a conspiracy theory out. You guys ready?
Fire away.
I think the Biden administration and the FBI and other intelligence agencies are now extremely concerned about who has joined the crowds coming across the border. I think they may have intel. This is just my opinion. I have nothing to base this on other than the fact that this is such a 180 for the Biden administration that I think they've got intel on possible terrorist activities. And I'm going to go one step further and double down on my conspiracy theory and tie it to the
Michelle Obama.
No.
Are you going to go with that one again?
No, I'm not. I'm going to tie it to the testing of the National Emergency Broadcast warning yesterday. I am. I told you. I'm going full conspiracy.
How about that wreck yesterday? I was in my car when that thing went off.
Loud.
Huh?
It was loud.
Yeah.
I think they may very well have information that there are actual
I see where you're going with this.
Actual terrorists in the country
who have entered
the country across that southern border, and they are very concerned about terrorist attacks.
Brad?
Well, someone else that has another opinion on this is Texas Senator Ted Cruz.
Okay, hold on a second.
What?
Okay, is that all the play I'm going to get on my conspiracy theory?
We'll come back to you, Ed.
All right.
We'll come back to you,
Ed. Right. Let us dwell on that a minute, Ed, and while we go to Fred's interruption, and then we'll come back.
All right.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Cut number two.
I don't believe a word of it. I think they're pretending. Look, blue states are finally seeing the consequences of this. You've got blue mayors. You've got Eric Adams in New York saying that illegal immigration is destroying New York City. They've had about 110,000 illegal immigrants, and that's destroying New York City. Well, what the heck do you think 7.6 million has done to Texas and the other border states? And so they're experiencing now what we've been seeing for a long time, which is this is a crisis. It's out of control. But I do not believe for a minute Joe Biden wants to fix it. I think this is all window dressing to pretend he cares. His objective is he wants even more illegal immigrants.
Fred, well, I think Fred, Ed, and Ray, and then Ray, you can comment. I think a couple things. One is I think this may be politics in the sense that what Ted Cruz is saying right there. We're entering an election year. I mean, well, what are we, 3 months away, 4 months away from the election year? Mm-hmm. So that may be one reason Biden is trying to look tougher, although progressives hate this stuff. They hate the idea of a wall.
Right.
Huh? Mm-hmm. So that may be, but I don't know. I don't know what he's doing right there, except if it's political, he may be trying to play to the middle, okay, on this particular issue now. However, like you, the other thing is, Mayor Adams from New York, he's down in Mexico now. He's doing a tour.
Yeah, what's it called? The discouragement tour?
To kick off his migrant discouragement tour.
That's the silliest thing I've ever heard of. Anyway,
it's a silly name because you've got to consider how far some of these people have come to cross our border. And Mayor Adams is going to show up there and convince them to turn around and go back?
I know, it's just dumb. Anyway, you also got that far lefty mayor of he's not far lefty. He's far, far lefty. Mayor of Chicago. Mm-hmm. Ray. You see that? He's also doing a tour de force down in Mexico. Did you see that?
No, I didn't. No.
Yeah. I don't know if he and Adams are in concert down there somewhere.
Come on, Brandon Johnson.
Is that his name?
Yeah, the one that replaced Lori Lightfoot.
Lori Lightfoot, right. She was too conservative.
That's right. They needed a real radical.
So he's down there. Look, type it in. Type it, Mayor of Chicago goes to Mexico. I mean, it sounds like a movie John Candy would be in. but I'm serious.
Yes, Mayor Brandon Johnson announced on Wednesday, so yesterday, he will soon travel to the Mexican border to assess the migrant situation as the number of buses arriving in Chicago continues to grow daily. Okay. So I am once again going to say that as far as I know, Tim Wildman was the first that I heard suggest that these governors of the border states start sending buses with these illegal immigrants to major city, to sanctuary cities and sanctuary states. And I think,
Abbott and DeSantis and what was the mayor of Arizona? The governor of Arizona. I think they were listening to the show.
Well,
about a couple.
How else can we explain it?
A couple of years ago when I had that idea and it just came to me, you know what I'm saying?
Like in a dream.
Yeah. And I just, I mean, how do I take credit for it without sounding like I don't?
I just took credit on your behalf.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, Ray. What do you think about the mayor of Chicago? He's gonna go down there too. I don't
look. This doesn't happen. This doesn't happen without these migrants being bussed. You think he really cares?
No, but they're packing these people in O'Hare Airport.
I know. And so this is all PR by him and by the mayor of New York City. Ed, I got to ask you, can I circle back around to the conspiracy theory?
Thank you, Ray.
Thank you. I love a good conspiracy theory.
Right.
So I got the first part, but somehow you got the emergency warning thing in for yesterday. That's the part do you care to elaborate on that?
Well, it was a little tongue in cheek on the second part because people were flipping out.
Right.
Because the national, I guess it's still called the National Emergency Broadcast Warning. Did you get it on your phone?
It was loud enough to raise the dick.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was kind of tongue in cheek tying it to that because everyone had a conspiracy about,
right,
you know,
right,
it was going to cause, you know, the zombie apocalypse, all kinds of nuttiness. I even heard read on Facebook people saying it was going to that you should put you should wrap your phone in aluminum foil, put it in your microwave.
What?
Some people said set it on low power because it was supposed to trigger something in the bloodstream. Anyway, so I tongue in cheek.
You didn't do that?
No.
I did it.
Tongue in cheek, I was tying that to the initial idea that perhaps the Biden administration has some intel that there may be domestic terrorists.
Well, you know, Ed, on a very serious note, I mean, we already know that bad actors have come across the southern border, right? We know
young Chinese men, nationals.
Right? We're not talking, that's not a conspiracy theory.
Right.
That's a fact, right?
Right.
So it's entirely believable to me that they have heard that a cabal, is that the right word? Some group of bad actors are trying to, are about to come over.
And yeah, who gets blamed if there is a terrorist act?
Oh, yeah.
That originated coming across
Biden
that
and
border.
The Democrats.
Sure.
Yes.
Let me just say this, too, and then we can move on to the next story. It could be as simple as this, guys, or at least this is the primary reason why Biden is suggesting or saying something about a barrier. They don't want to say wall, do they?
Right.
They just don't want to say wall.
It's not a wall.
It's a barrier, physical barrier. anyway, and the mayors of New York and Chicago are going down to Mexico.
The governor of New York, Kathy Hochul. Remember, she just said this week, we've got to stop this.
Yeah. Here's what I'm saying. It could be as simple as this. The citizens of Chicago and New York are getting ticked. Uh-huh. And they're seeing this problem growing, and it's every day. It's interfering with their lives, and they're sick of it. And even though they vote Democrat.
Right.
They may have a different kind of Democrat to vote for next time, or they may, I don't know, half of them may say, I'm going to vote for Republicans over this issue alone. Uh-huh. Because let me tell you something. It is interfering with Chicago and New York. It's interfering in other cities, too, Boston, Philadelphia, others. But in Chicago, yesterday I saw where they had a city park where they had youth football, right? And they have this, of course, all over the country. Well, the youth football was shut down because they were building I don't know if it was a tent city or whatever, to house the
heard about this
illegal immigrants who were flooding Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, think about that. If that's happening in New York too, they're using abandoned schools and places. They can't find
soccer fields.
Well, they're shutting down the youth soccer.
Mm-hmm.
In the community to build places for these
folks.
You don't
think that's going to upset even Democrat parents?
So the parents are getting mad, angry. That filters out across the city, across the voters. And so it could be as simple as that. Go ahead.
I heard a report this morning at our newsroom meeting, that in Philadelphia, apparently the Army-Navy game is coming up pretty soon.
Yes, Army this weekend.
This weekend?
Yeah.
People who made hotel reservations.
Wait, excuse me. I'm sorry, Fred.
Not
apologize. The Army-Navy football game is traditionally the first week in December.
Right, okay. Right. People who made hotel reservations in Philadelphia for that are getting notifications that their reservations are being canceled because they're going to use the hotels to house illegals.
That's insane. That is insanity.
This is all Biden's fault.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And the Democrat Party. Every bit of this is their fault.
Yes.
Every bit of this.
They created this.
They created it intentionally.
Yes. And by the way, I was just listening to a report before coming into the studio. Do not think for a moment that this wall that they're now saying they're going to build is anything like the Trump wall. Because remember back a few weeks ago, we had the story that Biden administration was selling off all the steel that was laying around.
That's true.
This is going to be a temporary wall that they can move. They're building, this one is supposed to cover about 20 miles. This is a temporary wall. I don't know, made of rubber or something. And they can move it around if they want.
Is it on wheels?
Oh, who knows?
Let me ask you guys something here, because I know you guys are all high tech.
That's us.
Ray, you're up first.
So Ed's my go-to guy for...
I am
cutting edge technology.
You mean just because my son is an IT brain?
Because your office is closest to mine. I don't want to walk any further than 8 feet to ask a question of somebody besides myself.
All right, lay it on me.
So here's the question: we all know people who have electric fences for their dogs.
Yes,
am I right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
They're invisible fences. Mm-hmm. But they keep the dogs in from wandering the neighborhood.
In my own experience, until the battery runs low. But go ahead.
You don't want your dogs going out into the street, but you want to let them out in your yard? You have an electric fence. Mm. I don't understand why you can't have the modern day technology, why you can't have an electric fence for as far as you want to have it. It serves to deter people.
I'm sure it does deter people.
Well, what's wrong with what I'm? What is wrong with what I'm suggesting?
Because these people are not dogs. Okay. First of all,
I got an answer. I got an answer for all your.
Okay. All right. So let me at least.
But go ahead.
You lay
out your argument
for why. A Christian ministry should not be advocating for an electrified fence. First of all, the electric fence you're talking about for dogs requires a collar on the dog, okay? That's what actually performs the task of shocking the animal. So instead, since we can't outfit all these people with collars, okay, you're going to have to electrify the fence with sufficient amperage. Boy, I'm just grabbing a word.
I'm just going to take my spanking. Okay. Go ahead.
With enough voltage, I should say that, enough voltage to shock human beings and keep them from climbing over.
Everybody's laughing at me, right?
Is that a sufficient explanation?
Zapping illegal.
All right. I'm just saying this day and age, I'm not saying you have to collar everybody. I'm saying you could. Why can't you erect, if that's what you want to call it, a virtual fence using just like you tase people, using a shock method that doesn't injure people permanently. I'm not talking about killing people. I'm talking about they go, I'm not going into that because you know what? You're going to get shocked. Just like, and so I'm not going there. You watch and see if that isn't available in the next 3 to 5 years.
Okay. I'll be watching.
I read Popular Science. I know what's going on. Huh?
Popular Science. When was the last time anybody on this panel
maybe I
read
Democracy.
Science.
I don't know, but it's just make fun of Tim Day here on today's issues. Fred, you're silent over there.
No, what's going to happen is that their cell phones, as they get closer to the fence,
right,
will zap them with something.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not talking about permanently injuring anybody. I'm just talking about why can't we come up with something like that?
I'm glad to hear it. I'm glad to hear you're not advocating permanent disfigurement.
We'll be back in a minute, people.
According to a recent study of hundreds of post-abortive women, 60% of women reported that they would have preferred to give birth if they had received more support from others or had more financial security. And that's where Preborn steps in. Preborn is there for women in their darkest hour, deciding between the life and death of their precious child. You see, the reality is women are being pressured to make this fatal decision and are being told that their babies are just a clump of cells. Preborn welcomes women with God's love and introduces them to the beautiful life growing inside of them, which doubles their baby's chance at life. When you support Preborn, you not only support women, you empower them. Your donation of $28 will help a woman to make a choice that she won't have to regret for the rest of her life and gives her the ultimate blessing, life. Your love can save a life. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or visit preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim Wildman here with Ed Battagliano, Fred Jackson, and Ray Pritchard. Where were we?
Ray, what's your... during the break, I mentioned something I told you yesterday.
Yeah.
The surefire way to stop illegal immigration across the southern border is for us to basically bribe Mexico to stop them at their southern border, because Mexico doesn't play in terms, they will arrest people who try to come into their country illegally unless they know they have a sure path into our country. So we just pay them. We just pay Mexico. We say, you stop them at your border. Otherwise, as President
Trump
did.
We'll outbid the cartels.
What's that?
We outbid the cartel.
Yes. Outbid the cartels who are making money.
Are now
trafficking.
Trafficking and drugs and everything, and allowing the people to pour in by the millions into the United States illegally, right? With the aiding and abetting of the cartels, because cartels make money.
Right.
They make money out of this. And, Ray, you know, Mexico is... I'm not indicting all the people, but Mexico's reputation is one where you of corruption in the government, right?
Right, right. And that was part of Mr. Trump's plan in his first term, right?
Right.
That he was going to get the Mexican. And I don't know how all that went down, but here's the thing. When Mr. Trump left office, the southern border, it was not perfect, right? But it was basically secure when he left office.
Yes.
What has happened since January of 2021, that's entirely the creation of Joe Biden and his administration.
Yeah. All right. Before we move on to the topic, so just let the record show, put this in a time capsule, okay? 3 to 5 years from now, when the technology is available to have a virtual fence, a virtual wall, remember, you heard it here first.
Right.
Because.
Oh, I will be happy to tell them where I heard it first.
Yeah. And you do. Okay. All right. So, hey, listen. A couple of weeks ago, I read about a great story out of Auburn, Alabama, where on the campus there of Auburn University, they were having a baptism service where hundreds of students there at school got baptized. I thought, well, this is wonderful. And then I saw, well, head football coach Hugh Freeze was a part of that. And then a couple of days later, the Freedom From Religion group in, I think they're in Wisconsin or somewhere.
Wisconsin.
Huh? I think anyway, there's six of them up there in Wisconsin. They just try to wreak havoc around America by firing off letters to schools, especially telling them, hey, you can't do this, you can't do that. It's a violation of separation of church and state. Well, Jeremy Dice is with us now from the First Liberty law firm out of Dallas, Plano area, and good friends of ours. We support the work they do. Jeremy, good morning to you.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. So, fill in fill in the blanks there, or the what's missing from the story I was telling about what happened at Auburn.
Yeah, you got to kind of step back a few weeks and realize that there was another lady that we represent, Tanya Pruitt, who was counseling some young women, and these young women on the Auburn campus are just facing all kinds of anxiety and depression, pulling their hair out, literally, and at some of the frustration they're facing on campus. And so she realizes, like I think a lot of Americans do, how much prayer changes things. And so she just decided to love on these students, but to do so, in addition to just loving on them, to doing it through prayer. And so she began to pray, and then some students got together and started praying for these students as well. And then more students joined them, and more students joined them. Before long, they were throwing this event at the Auburn Arena there that 6,000 of the Auburn students showed up to in this arena for a time of prayer and worship. You've seen this before on college campuses in the last year. This is going on now at Auburn. It was so moving that at the end of it, a student said, look, I'd like to be baptized. And evidently they're more Baptistic than Presbyterian at Auburn because they didn't have any water beyond a water bottle in the arena. So they had to walk out of the arena and into the pond next door. And they started baptizing first one student. And then by the time it was done, there were 200 plus students who had entered the waters of baptism there in the pond. One of the students was a football player at Auburn. And he asked specifically, in addition to the pastor doing the baptisms, whether Hugh Freeze, who is a noted and outspoken Christian, if he would participate in that as well. And Hugh Freeze said, of course I would. Well, of course, that then led to the angry letter that you talked about from this organization, that they wanted to have Coach Freeze and many others chastised for daring to be, you know, a Christian at a Christian event doing Christian things. Well, of course, that's not a problem at all. And thankfully, Auburn has taken no disciplinary action against Coach Freeze. They shouldn't do so anyway. And everybody that's...
Well, he hasn't lost to Alabama yet.
Well, that would be for a different reason.
Well, that would be for something else.
Oh, my bad. Okay, yes. Go ahead.
But everybody that's listening should know that if you are a person of faith and you want to practice your religion, you are free to do so today. And if you have any questions about that, call us at First Liberty. Go to firstliberty.org and let us know how we can help you.
Okay. So Hugh, what you're saying is Hugh Freeze, the head coach at Auburn, was basically asked by one of the single
student
to participate in the baptism. So it was a request. Hugh Freeze, the head coach at Auburn, didn't initiate this whole event or this whole baptismal service, which, by the way, even if he had, would still not be a violation of church and state, right? But he was just a participant.
Probably not.
But here's what happened.
What's funny.
Go ahead.
What's funny is that, you know, this group comes down and says and claims that Coach Freeze was coercing people. Well, how on earth do you coerce someone who has asked you to do something? That doesn't make any sense to me at all. Here's what's happened. The law has changed recently. You guys remember our Coach Kennedy case that we brought to the Supreme Court?
Yes.
That case changed a massive precedent in the law. And now these accusations of, I can see you doing religious things in public, that's not enough. That's not enough to say that's a violation of the Constitution anymore. That's the way it was under the old way of doing things, not the constitutional way of doing things. Now, what the Constitution requires, the Supreme Court says, is that if you think there's been a violation of the Establishment Clause, you have to bring hard evidence that there has been some sort of actual coercion taking place, meaning someone grabbed somebody by the scruff of the neck and forced them into the waters of baptism. If you can't prove that, then you need to move on, because this other clause called the Free Exercise Clause protects the right of people of faith to do people of faith things in this country.
Yeah. And here, again, this is a great story because this Freedom From Religion group, which is, folks, you may never heard of them. They're out of Wisconsin. They're much like what the ACLU used to be like. And any public expression of faith by Christians is a violation of the Constitution, according to them. Well, the good news here is Auburn University. Did their president or anybody speak on their behalf, or have they just not done anything?
Well, it's interesting. The president of their board, by statute, is the governor of Alabama, Kay Ivey.
Okay.
And Governor Ivey actually issued a letter pretty soon thereafter that basically said, pretty much nobody should take advice from this group. But at the very least, Alabamians are not going to take advice from this group. We fully protect the right of Alabamans to be involved in their religion and practicing it freely in this country. And so she gave a full-throated defense of Coach Freeze and others on that campus, saying they're not going to be pushed around by someone claiming these kind of ghoulish constitutional violations. They're phantom violations of the Constitution that don't exist.
Good for Governor Ivey. Amen. That's good news. But it's about time somebody told these people, you know, what they could do with their letter of complaint. So anyway, good for Governor Ivey, and we're happy for the
and good for Coach Freeze.
Yeah. All right, Jeremy, what's y'all's website?
Yeah, firstliberty.org is where you can learn more about this case and all the other work we're doing to defend religious liberty for all Americans.
Hey, I love y'all's commercials. You know, liberty, thanks. Liberty, huh? Liberty. Is that not y'all?
That's a different. That's a different. This is First Liberty.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah.
Okay, First Liberty. Hey, tell your boss, how's he doing, by the way?
He's doing really well. Thanks for asking. Yeah, we're doing great over at First Liberty. Just as he says, we're making trouble for the right people.
Amen. Amen. Wonderful. Thank you, Jeremy.
Thank you.
Appreciate
bye now.
You. All right. Did you think he got the joke there, or was it a bad joke?
I personally like the joke, and I'm not just saying that because you're the president.
Right.
I think that's funny because everyone knows that little jingle.
Yeah.
With the emu, the guy with the sunglasses.
I got nothing out of Jeremy. Did he chuckle at all? Did he?
It may be a case of him having heard it many, many times before.
Oh, okay.
Kind of like we get with J.J. Jasper when he tells a joke.
Fifth time?
Yeah, we've heard it. So I don't know.
Ray, did you see what I was doing there?
I saw exactly what you did. I thought you got a little bit of what I would call a sympathy chuckle, you know?
Which I get all the time from my wife. I get when I tell a joke, I get that same kind of reaction. I thought you were going to say, when you were talking about what the Freedom From Religion Foundation can do, I thought you were going to say they could, as far as I'm concerned.
I stopped right there.
They could just run into an electrified fence, as far as I'm concerned. They could run face first into an electrified fence down there on the border of between the U.S. and Mexico.
Mm. All right. All right. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. If you want to send us an email, and you can do so at comments@afr.net. Comments@afr.net. I'm Tim with Ed, Fred, and Ray. Again, if you want to listen to the podcast of this show, go to afr.net. That's our website, afr.net. And we have the podcast of all the shows we do here. Just click on podcast and click on the show, and boom, you can listen anytime, anywhere to our programming here on American Family Radio. All right, Fred, what's your next story?
All right, well, the controversy within the Republican Party continues in the wake of the ouster of House Speaker Kevin McCarthy earlier this week. There are now at least two Republicans who are offering themselves up as candidates to replace McCarthy. Steve Scalise.
Are they ever?
Steve Scalise yesterday.
For human sacrifice. Go ahead, Fred.
And another one in the last 24 hours, Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan, who is one of the pit bulls on the Republican team.
Yep.
He has headed up the House Judiciary Committee, and he has announced that he would like that job at cut number 3.
Well, we have to fix it. And I said this on the House floor on January 3rd when I nominated Speaker McCarthy. I said it a couple days ago. Any differences that exist in the Republican Party pale in comparison to the differences between us and the radical left, which now unfortunately controls the Democrat Party. We had better stick together. We had better come together to fight for the things that make our country the greatest nation ever and the things the American people elected us to do. Again, I think I can do that. If the conference wants that rule changed, I'm not going to go to Democrats to get that done. No way. We will have to decide as 222 Republicans, are we going to change that? That's the only way it gets done if that's what the conference wants. Mm-hmm. So that's something that has to, again, you have to bring the team together. That's what we have to focus on so that we can help the American people.
That was Jim Jordan.
And he believes he can bring the team together. It was interesting. Fox interviewed him for about 20 minutes this morning. He said what happened to Kevin McCarthy was wrong. He was very strong on that. But he believes he has enough in the way of people who would support him amongst the eight that did not support McCarthy. eight Republicans.
Well, they joined the Democrats in kicking him out.
So we're
Now they wouldn't say it that way.
No.
They would say McCarthy, and I'm not making a I'm not criticizing them. I'm saying the eight Republicans did, and when you combine that with the whole with every single Democrat, it was enough to get McCarthy removed.
Yeah. Right. So, you know, people like Steve Scalise and Jim Jordan believe they have enough in the way of good credit amongst those two factions to bring them together. And but we're going to find out next Tuesday.
That's, so are you saying that Scalise from Louisiana,
correct,
and Jordan from Ohio, they both said publicly said they're going to run for House Speaker?
That is correct. That is correct.
Has anybody else announced?
I believe there's one more, and I don't have that name in front of me at the moment.
Scalise, he's been in leadership. I mean, he's been with McCarthy, and he may go all the way back to Boehner. I'm not sure. Scalise has been in leadership in the Republican Conference. That's what they call it for a few years now.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 10 years. I remember with Tony Perkins. Tony Perkins and I went to a meeting in his office, Scalise's office. Of course, Tony's from Family Research Council. He's from Louisiana too, lives in the Baton Rouge area, so he knew Scalise personally. I didn't, but this wasn't long after he had been shot.
He was elected to Congress in 2008.
Yeah, he was. Remember, he was shot at the baseball game,
right?
And crippled him.
Yes,
and that now he has leukemia, I think, or he's some kind of blood cancer that he's dealing with as well. I'm not saying anything they didn't know publicly. So, that's Representative Scalise there.
Right.
Then you got Jim Jordan from Ohio, who's, as you say, the pit bull. Ray?
Yeah.
You have any thoughts on this?
Well, I agree with what Jim Jordan said. What happened to McCarthy was strange. Shouldn't have happened. But there we are. I wonder, I mean, both these guys are strong conservatives, right? Wouldn't we
yes.
say that?
Yes.
Between Scalise and Jordan, they're both very much on the conservative side. Anybody want to hazard a guess how that vote's going to come out?
Okay. Brother Tim here, and I'm speaking third person. I have what you would call a realistic, some would call it pessimistic, others would call it fatalistic view of this whole process. Okay. I'll try to be brief. Okay. Do I say okay a lot? Do I do that a lot?
It's okay.
Okay.
All
right. Yeah, it's okay.
I just don't want to do, I don't want to be one of those persons that uses a word so much that when you leave the conversation, the other two people say, does that not annoy you? The way he says that all the time. Okay.
I have never said that to anyone.
I know. Here's the situation as I see it. When you are elected the leader of a 230, how many Republicans are there?
222, is it?
222 people. Congressman, right?
Correct.
You're elected the leader. All right, in the current situation that exists, that leader of the conference on the Republicans, you have a 5 or 6 or 7 vote margin. That's if you get every single Republican to vote with you, you still narrowly beat the Democrats in a straight up vote. Am I right? Yes, Tim, you're right.
Yes.
Yes.
So you have a little bit of a fractured party that is a Republican, that Democrats have this same problem, okay? And it's easier to be in the minority because you don't have to, you can antagonize and resist. When you're in the majority, you're supposed to be able to lead, right?
Correct.
So you got, you're herding cats here, okay? With 230, whatever, what'd you guys say, 200 and what now?
It's 221.
221. There's a couple of vacant
seats.
Okay,
221. All right. So after you negotiate with your own team of 221 people, then you've got to go negotiate with the Democrats, who have almost as many as you do, and the Democrats control the Senate, and the Democrats control the White House. Who can veto anything? You see what you're facing right there? So when you have, now McCarthy got in trouble for other reasons, really, quite frankly. The debate, the vote against him, they would say he didn't hold up to the promises he made back when he was, remember they had 15 January. Rounds?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I don't know. They're probably right on that. But the others, the 96% of the Republican conference, they did not want to fire Kevin McCarthy.
Right.
Think about that for a minute.
Including Jim Jordan and I think Steve Scalise.
No. Jim Jordan and Steve Scalise voted with McCarthy.
Right.
They didn't want him removed either, especially at this particular juncture. Mm-hmm. President Trump lobbied heavily for Kevin MacArthur. John MacArthur's brother, Kevin McCarthy. Remember that?
Right.
A few months ago, back in January?
Well, just recently.
In January, President Trump said, Kevin McCarthy will make a great Speaker of the House. I'm supporting him 100%. That's what President Trump says. So the whole party basically was behind him, except Matt Gaetz and the congressman from Florida and a few others who wanted concessions on the part of McCarthy. Before they would vote for him. We all remember that. Went 15 right. rounds, didn't it?
Yep.
So I'm just saying that when you have to negotiate with your own party first, and then you're trying to negotiate with the Democrats and who control the Senate and the White House, what you have here, here's my point. What you have here, you have somebody, the Speaker of the House, in this case for the Republicans, the majority leader of the Republicans, they are going to negotiate along with their team the best deal they can get, given the circumstances, right? They're going to negotiate the best deal they can get, given the circumstances. Well, that's not going to be good enough for the hardliners. It's just not. They're going to say, no money for Ukraine, or we shut down the government. No money for better get the border wall money in there, or we're going to shut it down. Every faction has their issue that they say, they're willing to shut the federal government down for. You see what I'm saying? And then if you don't join them, you're a compromiser. You're an establishment rhino.
Right.
That's what they're calling McCarthy.
Yes.
And I'm not saying he is an establishment. I'm just saying it is an absolutely no-win situation for whoever the leader of the Republicans is right now in the House of Representatives. And if you get Jim Jordan in there, who is as conservative as any of them, Ray, I guarantee you in 6 months from now, we're going to be saying Jordan is a establishment hack. He sold us out.
But, yeah, we wouldn't.
No, we wouldn't, but I'm Matt just saying Gaetz that's might. The way he's going to be viewed.
Right.
Because every single Republican leader since Gingrich has been viewed that way. Boehner was viewed that way. I'm not defending the guys. Paul Ryan. I'm just telling you the way it is. Paul Ryan. Now Kevin McCarthy. Who was before McCarthy?
Well, Nancy Pelosi.
Ryan? Was Ryan before McCarthy?
Paul Ryan.
I'm not talking about Speaker. I'm talking about leader of the Republicans.
Oh, I see.
Paul Ryan. Mm. You have to go back to Gingrich in the 90s. Mm-hmm. And you know why Gingrich was viewed as successful? He had a big margin.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
Right?
The only way to change this dynamic is at the polls in 2024.
Yes.
Move from 231 to 235. Give yourself a cushion.
Yes. Otherwise, whoever the Republican is going to be called a compromiser and an establishment. And this idea, too, that you can one person can call a vote to remove the speaker, I think is insane.
But that was part of the deal that Kevin McCarthy
agreed to.
And now I think the move is to eliminate that.
That's not a good. No, it's not a good thing. You gotta have some continuity.
That's almost like a parliamentary system.
Yeah. Yeah, so, again, I don't mean to sound too pessimistic. I'm just telling you, as somebody who's been involved in organizations where you, and politics, and even some people, this is similar to some things that churches vote, right? Trying to get a consensus on anything is oftentimes difficult. And if you're the leader of a party negotiating with the enemy, then there are those behind you that are going to say you're not doing a good enough job, and you're going to get criticized every day on that front.
Yeah,
and I'm surprised Jim Jordan's running. And let me tell you another thing: the Republicans, the vast majority of Republicans, they don't want a hardliner. They may say they do. I'm talking about the congressmen themselves. That's why 96% of them were with McCarthy. They don't want somebody that's going to be a hardliner that's going to box them in. They want somebody that negotiates and can compromise and get the best deal you can get given the circumstances that they can get behind. But they don't want the federal government shut down. I'm talking about the Republicans, because it makes them look bad. But yet some of these folks say, no, you shut down the government over this issue or that issue or the other issue. I'm just saying that's the reality of what is what anybody who would take the speakership is facing today. We'll be back in 5 minutes.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com.